Use it, if it'll make you feel any better. I reached for the gun to check it was still there, then kept my hand in my pocket. I could kill you now. To her credit, she managed not to flinch, without taking your hand out of your pocket. You're welcome to try me. It felt like a charade, like a scripted piece we had fallen into rehearsing. It also felt like we had no choice but to follow the script to its conclusion, whatever that happened to be. Do you really think you could hit me like that? It wouldn't be the first time I've killed someone firing from this angle. But, I thought, it would be the first time I had meant to do it. After all, I had not intended to kill Geeta. I was also unsure I really wanted to kill Zebra. Had not meant to kill Geeta. I'd been trying not to think about it, but like a maze with only one exit, my thoughts always meandered back to that one moment. Now, after long repression, they welled up and exploded like a gang of rowdy gatecrashers. I had not remembered it before now. Geeta had died, yes, but I had comfortably avoided thinking too closely about the manner of her death. She had died in the attack, so what else was there to think about? Nothing. Except the simple fact that I had killed her. This is what I remembered. Geeta awoke first. She was the first to hear the attackers as they swept past the cordon, concealed in the strobe lighting of the electrical storm. Her yelps of fear woke me, her naked body tensing against me. I saw three of them, three silhouetted shapes cast against the fabric of the tent, like grotesqueries in a shadow theater. When each pulse of lightning flashed, they were somewhere else, sometimes one of them, sometimes two, sometimes all three. I could hear screaming, recognizing in the timbre of each exclamation one of our own people. The screams were very short and concentrated like trumpet blasts. Ionization trails scythed through the tent, and the force of the storm reached through the gashes like a creature of rain and wind. I cupped my hand across Geeta's mouth and felt under my pillow for the gun I had placed there before retiring, satisfied when my hand detected its cool presence and found its contoured grip. I slipped from the bunk. No more than a second or two had passed since I had first become consciously aware of the attack. "Tanner!" I called, hardly able to hear my own voice against the storm's threnody. "Tanner, where the hell are you?" I left Geeta under the thin caul of a blanket, shivering despite the heat and humidity. "Tanner!" My night vision began to come online, the interior details of the ruined tent creeping into greyish clarity. It was a good modification, worth what it had cost to obtain from the Ultras. Detailing had persuaded me to have it, after having the same mod himself. The gene splice led to a layer of reflective material, an organic substance called tapetum, being laid down behind my retinae. The tapetum reflected the light back, maximizing absorption. It even shifted the wavelength of the reflected light, fluorescing at the optimum sensitivity of the retinae. The Ultras had said the only drawback of the splice, if you could call it a drawback, would be that my eyes would seem to flash back at anyone who shone a bright light in my face. Eyeshine, they called it. But I rather liked the idea of that. Long before anyone saw my eyeshine, I would have already seen them. The splice went deeper than that, of course. They had packed my retinae with gene-tinkered rods, with a photon detection efficiency close to optimal, thanks to modified forms of the basic photosensitive chromoprotein pigments. A simple matter of tweaking a few genes on the X chromosome. I had a gene normal.